The Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. Tune in every Saturday mornings from 12:30 a.m. to late, right after the Medicine Show. Email us, CITRLateNightShow@gmail.com.
This concludes our proposal. Thank you for your attention.
I found that canned ham, and I put it in a pot of boiling water, and guess what I'm calling it?
Soup?
Hot ham water.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, nourishing radio.
Oh. So watery, and yet there's a smack of ham to it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whoever you are. This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. That's the NCRA stations across Canada and across British Columbia. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Across from me, and of course, if you're on Facebook, we are live, hopefully.
Yep.
And across from me is Mike Kober-Rubin-Cloggs. And I always forget your name.
Diane Hume.
So thank you.
Yeah.
So Michael, tell us about who is Diane.
Well, Diane is going to help us interview another lady, Leanne. So we will get into a little bit who Leanne is while you dial the secret numbers. So Kelly's going to dial the secret numbers. And Diane, you're going to tell us a little bit more about Diane and who she is.
Oh. Okay. Okay. So Diane, Michael's still saying
the 604 number.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Diane, how did you meet Leanne?
I met Leanne through the eWomen Network. And I am an active member of the eWomen. And Leanne, she heads up and teaches as she will explain, the memberships with all the members. She coordinates all of that. And she's got her own business as well as doing that. She's a very talented individual that I admire. Very much.
Very cool. Like,
yes.
So, Kelly, I'll have her with us in a second.
Hopefully. But go on. We don't want dead air, anyways.
Yes,
I'm
going to
read a bit of her bio while we're waiting here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I forgot to press something.
And you forgot to press something. Uh-oh. We're in all kinds of tech trouble here. Kelly's forgetting to press something. Okay, Leanne Frances Bates is a modern relationship goddess, founder of Inner Awakenings, Soul Talks, the manager and director of eWomen Network Vancouver Metro. Leanne is a relationship and intimacy coach, hypnotherapist, inspired speaker. See, I also found out yesterday through her promoter, whose name is also Leanne. We should probably get a plug in for the other Leanne too, shouldn't
we?
Yeah.
Yes.
That Leanne is also a published author, which isn't actually in this bio. So that has happened since this bio has been written.
All right. So I'm just going to pause you there. You mentioned Leanne, so I'm hoping Leanne's on the line. Are you there, Leanne?
Yes, I am.
All right. Welcome to the Community Living Show.
It's great to meet you, Leanne.
Same here.
So we were singing your praises and everything about your mission in life and everything. So we always like to start off with a little bit about your story, about how you actually got started and what inspired you. So why don't we start there?
Okay, sure, absolutely. So what got me started in my work was, sometimes we have those sort of pivotal moments And I had a pivotal moment after working in the corporate world for 11 years. I did international insurance, including international oil and gas and directors and officers, all sorts of different kinds of insurance, and made a great deal of money, had worked myself up to the perfect life, like everything that I thought I was supposed to do to become happy. So I was married and I had like 5 properties and, you know, I had artwork that I loved and everything was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with post-traumatic stress disorder from a lifetime of trauma. And that shut everything down and really sent me into really looking at what really does make us happy. How can we really like live the life that we have? And like, why wasn't I feeling like overjoyed and happy? And why wasn't I in great health? You know, because I did a lot of things, meditating regularly. You know, I took really good care of myself, had a great diet, exercise, all of this stuff. And yet at the end of the day, I really wasn't happy. And so I decided to make a really big shift and quit everything and started doing mentorships with spiritual leaders all over the world. And then I ended up also becoming a hypnotherapist, an energy worker, and so on and so forth. I love learning things. So I've taken a lot of different coursework. I've taken a lot of sexual studies, shamanic and tantric sexual studies as well, and basically brought this all into basically my mission is to help people unconditionally love themselves and others. But how I present it is that I help people with relationships and intimacy.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. Dealing with your own trauma would really help you move along, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I think, you know, there wasn't a lot of options, really. I mean, I had this, you know, really, I had a lot of traumatic experiences in my childhood. My brain was actually shattered by the time I was 4. I had 2 disconnections in my spine from that. And then, you know, things went on and there was some sexual abuse in my life and things like this. And I had tons of trauma, but, you know, there was no real help available. Like, you know, they didn't really talk about, you know, getting help in school for that type of thing. You know, I knew I could call the police at some point if I was unsafe in my home, right? But, you know, then they just would take you away or they would give you to the other parent who had also been abusive in my childhood. So there was, you know, a lot of different things growing up that I just really never felt like I had the tools to address those traumas, right? Until I did start meditating. One of the first places I ever moved out into, my landlord was a hypnotherapist, ironically. And he actually taught me to meditate and do hypnosis on myself. And I was only 16, and that was one of the most core foundational changing tools of my entire life that I have never not utilized, and one of the core things that I teach my clients. You definitely need to address these things, otherwise they crop up later.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said about meditation, because I use meditation to find my way down inside of myself, right? And it's so that when you find your way down inside of yourself, you find yourself in tune with what you need as a being too, right?
You do. I mean, it's a sanctuary in there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would have never known that having the upbringing that I did. I would have been like, I was actually scared of going inside. And you know, like, what might I find in there, right? What darkness might I find, or messed up things might I find? And inside, I mean, we are just, you know, unconditionally loving beings. Truly, that is our essence, is just love. And so to go inside, I mean, that is where our wisdom is. It is where our guidance is. I mean, it is an absolute haven of information and tools for us.
Right.
Yeah, me too. I find that coming from that place of love and finding that within, you do have to quiet the mind doing the meditation. What was it that that helped you to just find that meditation idea, the whole, and getting into the zeroing in of hypnotherapy as well?
Well, it was that first landlord. So I ended up renting a room in a house. There were, I think, 8 rooms when I was 16. And this gentleman that rented it to me was a hypnotherapist. Mm-hmm. And I moved in and, you know, I mean, I thought I was fine, but obviously he was, you know, he could see a few more things about me. I mean, it's not every day you have a 16-year-old move into your place. And you know, he suggested that he teach me how to meditate. And they had a whole meditation room in the house and even like a copper pyramid even to go inside and meditate inside. And I remember he taught me how to do it. And I was just like, I was so embarrassed to like close my eyes in front of anyone. I was very, very shy at that point in my life. And so I actually crept up into this room at night when everyone was asleep. And I just was like, I'm just going to do this. I was just so desperate. Like I had nobody, no support in my life at that point. And so it was like any tool that someone was going to give me, I was going to try out. And the first time my mind just kind of quieted even for a moment. And I just felt like even a millisecond of peace was just life-changing for me. Absolutely life-changing. And then that, of course, is what came up later in my life when I came out of my corporate career. I went, you know, like what was the most kind of interesting thing that I ever learned that would help other people? And it was definitely hypnosis and meditation. And yeah. So I went to hypnotherapy school because I was like, you know, this was just so pivotal for me. And it became more pivotal as my story went on because, I mean, after the PTSD, I ended up going to a hypnotherapist as well to work through a ton of that trauma. And I'm not someone that struggles with PTSD every day. I had PTSD, mm-hmm. and we resolved the symptom, and now I live a normal life.
Yeah. I have another friend who suffers from PTSD, and she came up with it was – another term, it was post-traumatic. In the end, what it means is you find out what the whole purpose of the trauma was and what your purpose it was supposed to be in dealing with the trauma. But she still has a trigger. And her trigger is, it's kind of interesting because of how the trauma occurred. The trauma occurred because of a breakup, a fire, and it's something else. So that she has this trigger that if she's asleep and there's a fire engine gets within so many feet of her window in earshot, that she actually suffers from a atypical arrhythmia in her heart, and she actually has to go to emergency and get paddled.
Oh, wow! Yeah.
And that's not an easy experience because, of course, you get slammed across a table and you wind up with a burn on the back of your back.
Right.
And so, but there is a question in all this. do you still have a trigger, or are all your triggers gone?
So, you know, it's I've found it's a bit like an onion, you know, when we talk about the layers. So, you know, when I had that, like first, I mean, bout of it. I mean, I didn't know, but I had been living with so many triggers my entire life. And I just thought those were normal. And mm-hmm. I just knew other people thought they were weird, right? Like, so, you know, like someone would come up, you know, behind me. And if they would grab my hair or my head, roughly, like, I mean, I would just go into complete, like, dissociative state. Like, I was not present. You know, there was triggers like that. There was, you know, because I had sexual abuse, there was triggers that came up when I was being intimate with other people. There was a lot of different triggers. And some of them I dealt with before the full PTSD. Like they suspected I probably had a PTSD break in my teen years as well. And it just didn't go diagnosed. But yeah, I dealt with some of those triggers. Then I dealt with the triggers that came up in my 20s when that happened. And then I think it was about 2 years ago, I went through, had a like ton of deaths in my family all at the same time. And I don't know, a whole set of circumstances arise around seeing some people that had been involved in some of my abuse when I was younger. And it sort of, I again got triggered. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, like, yeah. So it's, you know, and sort of going back into the PTSD, I think it was 3 weeks that I sort of had suffered from the anxiety and all of that again at that point. And, you know, once I dealt with those triggers again, then it was fine. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there will be the perfect storm that will happen next year where it's just the right mix of circumstances that might trigger something that's ready to be healed. I mean, that's how I look at it. You know, I just look at that, you know, when our conscience is ready to address the trauma, we will get an opportunity to do that. And when we do, you know, there's always a gift involved. Mm-hmm.
So how closely the gift that you received from all that, how closely is it related to how you actually are helping people in the community?
Well, I mean, it gave me, it gave me a ton of empathy. All of my experiences have given me a ton of empathy. So, I mean, you know, when I was out just doing my spiritual teaching side of things, you know, I was looking at everybody and just seeing how much trauma all these people had been through. And I mean, they might not have PTSD, but, you know, maybe they, you know, had a parent that wouldn't hug them, or, you know, we have all different kinds of quote unquote traumas. And I really believe that when we come into a full love and self-acceptance, that everything serves or really falls into place in our life. And so it was, you know, through my own journey and getting to that place that I was able to look at other people and go, you know what, like there's more for you. And, you know, for people that had PTSD and that sort of thing, anxiety, depression, they were just, you know, being put on drugs and they felt numbed and they didn't feel good and they felt, you know, dead inside. For them to have an alternative, you know, way of looking at things or dealing with things was huge. And, you know, I've just been able to help people with all different kinds of things. Like, as I said, I work in the intimacy realm because I don't have any judgment. When you've been through as much as I've been through, you just don't see things as good, bad, right, or wrong anymore. It's just simply things that have happened to people, belief systems that have been created, ways that they are protecting themselves. And so, you know, I mean, I've had clients that were part of gangs and shootings and, you know, are amazing, you know, citizens at this point. And, you know, I've had everything. And I think that's kind of the real blessing, is that I can look at so much without any judgment and really empathize with people and be there for them while they move into the space that they want to.
And Leanne, how do you get them into that state of love and acceptance so that they're not in the other state of mind? Is there a process that you do, or how does that come about?
Yeah, it ends up being a rather intuitive process and a client-led process, just depending on what's going on. So usually we'll look at the first, like the biggest thing that's coming up in their life, right? Like, what is that one thing if it changed today? Because people don't really always recognize the belief systems behind it that need to be healed, or, you know, the thing at the root, but they recognize the symptom, right? And yeah. So we look at kind of their biggest symptom, you know, like, what is that big thing? We start there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm also a big believer in using the modality that people feel will work, because I believe that, you know, what the mind believes is what the mind will be most open to as well. So, you know, a lot of my clients just come in, they're like, whatever you need to do, do, and let's just go through the process. And so depending on what's going on for them, I'll pull in different tools. It might be hypnotherapy, it might be energy work, might be doing some aspecting. It might be, you know, all sorts of things. But
okay.
They always learn meditation. And then we work through that big thing with the tools
yeah.
that I have for them. And maybe
okay, I'm
going
to cut you off right there, and we'll get back to that in just a second. We get back. Kelly's going to take us to a break.
Yes. So.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So, can you put so we're going to put you on hold, Lee, and we'll come back to you in just a moment. All right.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. You're tuning in to Community Living Show. Our guests, Leanne and Diane Hume, and we will be back in a moment.
And now, a three-minute segment with Michael Rubin Clogs.
And welcome back to 3 Minutes with Michael. I'm here again at the Co-op Radio Station. And today's topic is about focus on what you want. So many times we actually focus on what we don't want, especially when we talk about things like anti-bigotry, anti-racism. Whenever you put an anti in front of what you don't want, you're actually adding more focus to the item that you don't actually want. And instead of, say, anti-racism, say pro-respect or pro-kindness to all, things like that. You want to make sure that what you're focusing on is what the end result that you want to have happen. By saying I'm against something, you're actually putting more energy into what it is that you may actually be against, in which case you get more of what you don't want. It's something people really talk about about this is people who are really involved in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because they will tell you how your language can predetermine what your result will be. How you say things and how you put words out there actually determine what your end result is going to be. So if you put words into effect that describe what it is that you want to see happen as a end result, you're more than out likely to get that result too. When you put things into what it is that you don't want, then you're going to get more of what you don't want. It's counterintuitive what you add to what most people might think. So if you're against bigotry, you're actually asking for more bigotry. If you say you're for respect, you get more respect. And there's other things along with this. If you think that you're being discriminated against, you might actually want to center yourself and fill yourself with more self-respect so that you don't experience the discrimination, which is disrespect. Fill yourself, fill your focus with the things that you want, and you will receive a bountiful of the things that you do want. So that's it for today. Focus on what you want. Remember, you can live a balanced life. Focus on it, and it will happen. Thank you, and bye for now.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day. Hello and welcome back to the Community Living Show. I'm Kelly Rayburn. If you're not seeing me on Facebook, but I am behind the scenes here. We do have our special guests on the line. We have Leanne, who is the founder of Inner Awakeness, Diane Hume, who's the co-host of the Balanced Living Show, and of course Michael too as well. So
yeah,
let's go back to the program.
Okay. And like you said, we're on again with Leanne Bates. And you were telling us a bit about your process. So let's start off there about how you work your process and different modalities to get people through traumas and things.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. One of the things we should probably clarify is it would be a very different process to take a solo person through a trauma than it would to be taking a couple through a trauma or to take someone through a sexual trauma. There's different processes for these. But, you know, if it's one person and they're needing to work through a trauma, we're going to look at what that big thing is that they need to shift, and then we're going to go in and start shifting it. And that might include hypnotherapy. It might include doing a process that I call aspecting, where we really look and communicate with something or someone that symbolizes that trauma. They will learn meditation. I always teach all my clients meditation, and then also, you know, I might do some energy work with them. It's really going to be a lot of what they're open to. I have some clients that, you know, my family's the same way, thinks that hypnotherapy is like against their religion. So, you know, for that, I'm not going to be using hypnotherapy for those clients. I'll be using other tools, right? And then I have some clients that come in, they're like, wow, do anything but like energy work? I don't think so. So I leave that one aside. So I work with the clients on the level that they want to be worked with. And then we also do a coaching aspect, because it's one thing to create really big shifts in the subconscious mind and start sort of pulling out these weeds, if you will. That's sort of how I like to think about our minds. I think about them as like a greenhouse, and they sort of, you know, have we open up the greenhouse and we go into the subconscious mind, and we have flowers and we have weeds, and you know, flowers are all these like amazing belief systems that are really working for us and are really constructive, and the weeds are the ones that, you know what, they're taking up some space that we don't want. You know, maybe we want to plant something better there. Maybe it's not resulting in really constructive behaviors or things coming into your life. And we just, you know, pull out the weeds by the root. And once you pull them out, they're gone.
Yeah, I like the analogy on that one, because as I like to describe, weeds are flowers that aren't supporting, that just aren't pleasing to you, so they go.
Especially when the really weeds start, when the weeds start choking the flowers.
Yeah, the ones that you want.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And getting it to the root so that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you might love dandelions. That's cool. We'll leave them there. That's not a weed for you, right? So. absolutely. So we pull those out. And then what I found through the process with people over the years is that was such a massive change. They almost didn't know how to metabolize it on a conscious basis. So I then incorporate some coaching with it. And I have a coaching designation that, again, uses very subconscious belief change systems to create those shifts. So it marries really well with the hypnotherapy, and we just sort of coach them along, and, you know, I become their support system. And if we need to do more, you know, start weeding, we go along and do some more weeding along the way. And if they just need the coaching, they just need someone to be with them and help them be accountable and get feedback from and focus on next steps with, that sort of thing, then that's where I come in. Because you can have a really big trauma and you want to go ahead and heal that trauma, but you still need to figure out what to do with that. You know, like in my case, when I had the PTSD, something that I hadn't expected, but my workplace office had become a trigger. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I really had to consciously become aware that that wasn't there anymore and be able to walk in those doors with the confidence that I wasn't going to have a panic attack. And so that's where coaching can come into play, really prepare the clients for those next steps, for what they might want to do. Again, like, you know, I'm just doing easy traumas, but, you know, like fear of planes, right? Again, you know, like the actual fear is now gone, but they still have a memory of being afraid of it, right? Mm-hmm. They're not changing the actual memories. And so there's some coaching involved, you know, to get them prepared and feeling comfortable so that they can, you know, go ahead and make this leap and take a plane ride.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're thrilled when they get on. They're like, oh, my gosh, I'm like not freaked out at all.
Yeah. So you're actually taking the memory, you're turning it into a neutral energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So that nothing happens, like you won't get, when you remember this, you won't get fear.
Yeah, you don't take, a lot of people think that you take away the memories. You don't. You just take the emotional trauma out of it. Mm-hmm. So you're just neutralizing that emotional triggering aspect that's creating the trauma, if you will. So you still always remember it. You still always have a recollection of what your life was like. You just don't have that. It doesn't have that energy anymore, is the best way to put it. It just really doesn't have that energy. It's just like, okay, this is what happened.
Right.
So looking at the example of being afraid to fly, what do you find sometimes are the triggers for that? Is it a certain sense or a typical emotion that they have?
That one can be so many different things. I had one circumstance where, I mean, it was in multiple things, and the person had been a child. They had been standing on the side of the street with their mom with some grocery bags or some bags from a store. And there was an animal on the other side of the road, and they wanted to go pet it. And so they bolted across the road, and the mom screamed in fear and dropped the bags. And the child turned around and was actually in no danger from the cars, but turned around and saw this like look of like sheer like fear on their mother's face. And, of course, became scared, because that's how we learn what to be scared of when we're younger, is a lot of it's from our modeling, right? And yeah. And so this, person grows up, becomes a, business person, flying all the time, travels for business all the time, loves planes, no big deal, and gets into turbulence on a plane and finds after that they can't get onto a plane without having a panic attack. Full on, they have to drug themselves right out to get onto a plane. And they're drinking before that. They're just using all types of coping mechanisms to deal with what's going on. They're like, I can't do this anymore. So they came in and they're like, of course, it's always so interesting. We have what we call the initial sensitizing event, which is the first event. And then we have the symptom forming event. And so people always usually think that the symptom forming event is what the issue is. So they're like, oh, I had this, turbulence. This is why. And so, of course, we just go in to the mind and we let the mind resolve it itself. That is, the client is doing the resolution themselves. I'm not, putting them any particular direction. I'm just facilitating it. So, they go into hypnosis and they go all the way back to this childhood memory where that was what happened with the mom. And so where things linked is what happens when we have a trauma is we put our brain makes little flags like, okay, this could potentially be dangerous, this could potentially be dangerous, and this could potentially be dangerous, right? And that way we don't end up hurting ourselves over and over again the same way. We learn that the stove burns us once. We learn that it looks a certain way, that it has a temperature, that our parents say, you're going to burn yourself, and we flag all those things. And then the next time we go towards something that meets some of those parameters, we know not to touch it. Even though maybe the stove looks different, there's enough similarities, the brain's like, okay, let's not do this. And so with this person, when they'd had that turbulence, there was someone beside them on the seat who was scared of planes, and she looked an awful lot like their mother. And she screamed when they hit the turbulence. Bags fell from the overhead cabinets because they opened. And that basically was, enough of the same circumstances as when they were a child that the brain automatically linked those two events and was like, okay, the plane is the problem.
Wow.
And it's not the plane.
I had one friend that said that she was afraid of flying. And yeah. That's it. I don't want to fix it. I just, that's my problem. I'm not going on there. All of that. And then she had said it wasn't until after she gave birth to her child that she felt like this. So she talked to her doctor about this, and her doctor said, "That's well known after you have children to then be afraid of flying." Have you ever heard of anything like that? And what would you say to a client that said something like that?
No, I haven't. And Diane, you won't know this, but I was a doula for 20 years, so I helped women in birth. So you would think, I mean, I don't know, right? God's not an encyclopedia. I have never heard it. So when I have clients that say things like that, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, like, I mean, if that's what they want to believe, that's what they want to believe. If they're coming into me, though, they usually want to resolve it. So it's like, you know, let's just go see, you know, what comes up. Let's not put energy into it with our conscious mind. Because really, when you're doing modalities like hypnotherapy and stuff where you're using the subconscious mind, I mean, it just knows so much more. I mean, over 90% of your of everything that you do is in your subconscious mind, not your conscious mind. You know, we don't think about blushing. We don't think about, you know, too much about getting afraid of something. We just kind of are, right? We don't think about blinking or breathing. You know, when we have a baby, we don't think about growing the baby. Can you imagine that? Like, you know, but our subconscious mind and our body knows how to do that. Like, it knows a great deal of information that we kind of never really realize is there with our conscious mind, because our conscious mind is just such a thin layer on the top that allows us to sort of rationalize things and stay in the present moment. But that's just something that, you know, I would, you know, maybe ask them to do, if they, you know, if it's your friend, maybe encourage her to do some research if it's bothering her. But
yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. I've heard all sorts of interesting things said from all sorts of interesting professionals. And I don't know. I thought
that was very interesting.
I've never heard of a professional spewing something like that, though.
That's rather... they would just link it. Yeah, this happens all the time.
I'm gonna stay completely rational on this one, and I'm gonna say that's very unscientific. There is no link from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
in her mind.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
There is.
Yeah, in her mind, there is, but. Again, staying scientific on this one, you're going to say that's not rational. So, but that brings up another topic. Of course, you said that you're the facilitator, and you don't actually help them heal. You're the guide, right? So, in your process, you probably observe a lot of checks and balances to make sure that the person's safe so that you can bring them out of it if something starts to go too far, right?
There's all sorts of different things that you can use in hypnosis so that people mostly 99% of your sessions are going to go without any kind of techniques like that needed. But there are techniques that you learn in advance. Hypnotherapy classes, and this is why people should always be looking for someone with a good hypnotherapy background, not just someone who calls themselves a hypnotist. It's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a seasoned and well-educated hypnotherapist knows how to pull people into a safe space if they're feeling too much trauma.
Right.
And you actually create that space for the person as they go into hypnosis. And, you know, it was just my luck, but I ended up having a client like that right after I graduated. Just like, really?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, what you can do in that circumstance, I mean, this is just one technique, but it's very effective. And it basically, they go into the trauma and then you pull them into the safe space. And then, you know, when they're ready, they can go back in. And we can reframe whatever is going on in there, take the emotional context out of it, and then you can go back into a safe space. And then honestly, I mean, I've also learned that I can do a lot of that work too, just with the coaching techniques. The difference between a coaching technique and going in and changing the subconscious mind and using something like hypnotherapy is just the speed of shift that's going to happen. I mean, with hypnotherapy, you can do so much work so quickly in one session. With, you know, something like coaching, it takes a lot longer. Like, they actually have scientific studies on that.
Right. Yeah. The reason why I brought that up is because I know that there's people out there listening who It's like, oh, that just sounds so scary. But if we say start the process now to guiding them to you, it's like, don't worry, she's going to keep you safe, and the whole experience will always go well. And you said right there, you helped them create a safe space so that,
yeah, you know. So when they go into hypnosis, we actually create what I call a sacred space.
Yeah.
And so they create that in their imagination in hypnosis. And so, you know, that space is, I always create it because, number one, if they do go into any kind of intense trauma that I want to pull them out of, but not pull them out of hypnosis, because I want to, you know, calm them down and make them feel really safe and secure again. I create that space for that. And then also, when they leave, they can actually do self-hypnosis and they can go back into that sacred space anytime they want. Because I'll actually teach my clients how to do self-hypnosis so they can make shifts themselves as well. They don't always have to come back to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly's giving me the signal again. We got to go to our second break. And then we'll continue a little bit more about how you got yourself into e-women and things like that in our final segment. Go ahead, Kelly.
All right. So this is Me Living Show. We have Diane Hume, Leanne Bates, and Michael Rubin-Clogs. We'll be back in a moment. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM with Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA radio stations. My name is Kelly Rayburn on the controls. Along with me is Diane Hume, who is on your left-hand side of Facebook. We are having some minor difficulties with Facebook, just to let you know. And on the right-hand side is Michael Clogs. I'm in the background, so take it away, you guys.
Okay, and we're going to get into our final segment here with Leanne Bates. And you were finishing up something about the hypnotherapy and making everybody safe and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that, you know, they can, when they have created a safe space, they can use this to do hypnotherapy, well, hypnosis with themselves and make changes themselves. So that can be really lovely and powerful. And then also, you know, if there are any traumas that they're concerned about, we pre-talk about that before they go into hypnosis. And we talk about if certain things come up, what we're going to do in that circumstance. Because sometimes we can have traumas come up that we don't consciously remember. And, you know, there are cases where that could lead to charges being filed. And so there are certain procedures around that as well.
Okay.
That we follow very strictly so that we don't do anything, the hypnotherapy, that might infringe them from being able to place charges.
Okay. So in this segment, why don't we get into, I know you've recently been, how is it, is that elected, or how did you get picked to be leader of eWomen? And also you're an author too, so we'll talk a little, let's get into a little bit about your book.
Okay. I am not an author yet, though. So I don't know. I think there might have been miscommunication with Leanne. I am writing a book at the moment.
That means you're an author. If you're writing, if you're still writing the book, you are an author.
In the process of.
There you go. Okay.
See, we, here in media, we eliminate in the process of, and we just say you are.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're all clear then. So, yeah. eWomen, I'll start with eWomen because that's what you started with. And so eWomen Network, Vancouver, eWomen Network is like a worldwide organization for female entrepreneurs. It's really fabulous. And basically, I was a member, not for very long, only for a year. That's kind of a baby in the chapter, really. And the position for the managing director came up. And so it was suggested to me that I apply, and I did, because I felt, even though it had only been a year, I felt very strongly about what was happening in that community. It's just a really amazing bunch of really dynamic, powerful women. Diane, that's with you, of course, knows that because she's one of those women. It's such a pleasure to have her in membership. And I just knew that somebody needed to step up and become the managing director that, like, really had their heart in the chapter. And so I did. And honestly, I didn't think that I would get the position, given that I talk a lot on sexuality. And, you know, there's some really interesting stuff in our society around women being, you know, respected in business and also being able to talk about sexuality. And it's still kind of seen as a very taboo business to do. And, you know, thankfully, our founder, Sandra Yancey, is a huge supporter of sexual empowerment for women. And they poured over all my stuff for 3 months and went, nope, and interviewed me for 3 months. And then they chose me out of the candidates. And so I took over being the managing director in August. And, yeah, it's been quite a journey.
And what is your main role as managing director of eWomen Network?
Technically, I'm responsible for the entire chapter's well-being, every aspect of it. So I have a full leadership team, thankfully, because there's just no way I could do it all by myself. And basically, I oversee the job that I'm doing and the job that they're doing. And we put together events every single month. So we have about 3 events every single month, one larger one. Where we have a speaker come in, we get to do a couple rounds of networking, we share a meal, it's amazing. We actually have our founder coming in, Sandra Yancey, next month. It's going to be so fun for like a whole day. And then we have smaller ones that we call strategic introduction events, which are so amazing. It's maximum 12 women sitting around a table. And we go through a bit of a mastermind process. It's called a wisdom circle because Sandra Yancey had started these 17 years ago before the word mastermind existed. And we all bring a business challenge to the table and we all help each other make a breakthrough on it. And it's such a powerful process. So we do those kinds of events every month. And yeah, so I'm responsible for everything from finding the venues to the food to the speakers to... you know, making sure people pay for their tickets, to making sure that their profiles online are working for them. Like, whatever the members need is my job to look after. And as I said, thankfully, I have a team of like 9 people that help me with all of that.
And how do you choose a speaker or and a venue? And how do you know to choose? Is there a criteria set out? Of some sort that you go through to make those decisions?
To find a venue? Well, when I'm looking for a venue, I mean, it depends what kind of event I'm running, right? You want a venue that's appropriate, that has the right capacity. You want to look at how they're charging you, if that works for you. If you want food, you want to make sure their food is good, right? You want to make sure they know what they're doing, that they're going to be able to, like, do setup for you if that's what you need. Like, these are larger events, so I'm not going in and setting up tables and chairs myself and renting. I've been doing events for too many years, and that's a lot of work. So for me, for something like eWomen's, I like using, like, banquet rooms, like big hotel rooms. where they'll set up all the tables and chairs for you. They know how to get, you know, the screen up, the stage up, mm-hmm. and it makes things a lot easier.
Yeah. And for speakers, do they have to be a member of eWomen in order to speak at the event?
No, technically they don't. So we do have a lot of eWomen members come in internationally to be speakers, just because, you know, we get to know them through the network and we have a speakers network. But we do at times use non-members. And basically, if somebody wants to become a member, they just go on the eWomen network website and they fill out a basic speaker profile. That's the free one. Or they can do the pro, and there's different things with that. Like they'll get advertised to all the chapters if they want to start going around and speaking at many eWomen chapters. That would be the way to go there. And then they apply individually at the chapters too.
Okay.
So after they go do that, they would connect with myself, or we are the leader that does our speaker liaison position is Elizabeth Patricia. They would connect with her or myself. They would send a media kit and a reel of, you know, a talk that they've done, or like even just a radio interview that they've done, just so we can see what they sound like, how they're presenting. And in their media kit, of course, would be their topics. And we look for topics that the members have already asked for. So mm-hmm. at the beginning of each year, we get together as a team and we look at we track throughout the years, or track throughout the story, the year, what the members are wanting and where they're having challenges in their business. And so we actually take all that information and data and we plan out what kind of topics we're going to have for the year. And then we're just finding speakers to plug into those. And we usually book over a year in advance. So right now, if somebody wants to apply, they probably wouldn't speak until 2019.
Wow. And I noticed a few, maybe three men that join. Looks like we're almost going to be going to a break here soon, though. But
running out of time.
Yeah, yeah.
The end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I was just curious.
Get your question in.
Yeah.
We do.
Are men allowed? How about that?
Yeah, we are. We are man-friendly. They say that we have eWomen members and a few smart men. And we do. We have about 5% of our members are men. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So I can actually join.
Yeah, you can.
And there might be speaking opportunities for me, too. Hey, how about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do a wonderful talk. I'm going to give myself a plug. I do a wonderful talk on how businesses should use the media. Yeah, and it was born out of the fact that a lot of people contact me and say, "Hey, can you help me do a press release?" And I tell them no, because press releases don't work. You need to pitch the media and tell them what the benefits are to their audience. Because you live and die by your audience when you're doing radio, TV, and also movies.
Mm-hmm. True.
So you live and die by your audience. So, so anyway, before we start wrapping up, Kelly, do you have any events? Okay, then we can ask. I should say, Leanne, do you have any events coming up?
We have an eWomen event, accelerated networking event, coming up this Thursday, so the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the eWomen Network site or on Facebook, and you can find us there and register for that. We have a huge event for eWomen next month, March 14th, where Sandra Yance, our founder, who is actually an expert on the doctors, the hit show The Doctors, will be coming, and she'll be with us for the day, which will be really cool. And then I have an event that's super close to my heart. We have a couple spots available on February 17th with my core business, and that's called Tapas and Tantra. And it's a very private, amazing Valentine's experience for 10 couples, where they're going to get like a 5-course aphrodisiac-based meal. And they will learn to do tantra with their partner throughout the courses.
Wow.
Oh, very cool.
Fun.
I love tantra because it's not what people really think it's about connecting with your mate and the intimacy and everything that goes along with that. It's really a method of communication, not twisty turny sex.
people get it mixed up with Kama Sutra a lot, right? And it's like, well, actually, it's meditative, it's energetic, you know, it's intimacy, it is communication. There's so much to it, but I love it.
Yeah,
fun.
Okay, so
context.
Yes, we need to make sure that you blurt out the best ways that people can find you, contact you, and work with you.
Okay, awesome. I have a page on Facebook, Leanne Frances Bates, the Modern Relationship Goddess. My website is leanne.love, so www.leanne.love. And then my phone number that people can contact me for business is 604-362-3464.
Awesome. And how do you actually do this? Do you do like the free? We talked about that word, didn't we?
Yes.
Actually, Diane and I had a whole conversation about not to use the word free, but to say do you have like an introductory appointment where people get to learn if everything's a fit to work with you?
For sure. I always do a consult because I think it's really important that both the client and the coach or the therapist feel like it's going to be a good fit and that it's going to resonate for both. So always a consult. And then you can really advise clients what their best course of action is, right? Because maybe it's one-to-one or maybe it's to attend an event I'm offering with their partner. It really is dependent on each person. So the consult is integral. And yes, I gift it to people so that we all know that we're making the right choice.
That's what I'm saying, gift.
Yeah, see, we went through all those other words and the car ride over here.
All right, Leanne, thank you very much for joining our show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you.
It's nice meeting you again. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Fabulous. Oh, my gosh.
And you're really developing your interviewing chops very well.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
All right. So that is it for the show. We would like to thank Leanne Bates and Diane Hume and Michael Rubenclogs for coming onto the show. If you have a host you want to do or guess or you want to be on the show, email us, communityliving.radio@gmail.com. That's the email address. And we're on three different stations. The one you're listening to and watching on Facebook is on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. We broadcast every Tuesdays from 1 to 2. On our second show is on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and streaming online at cooprio.org. And we broadcast there Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m. And we are also on, hopefully we are on CHLY, but we haven't got any clue on what's happening over there. So please support them as well and support us as too. Website, chly.ca. And, of course, we're on the NCRA Program Exchange, previous.ncra.ca. So those are the three facilities that we do here on the show. Thanks
and you
again.
You can also look for us on other blogs and other ways too.
Oh, just absolutely. By Googling. Yeah. And on Facebook too.
Yes. And on Facebook.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelly.
Have a great day and we'll see you all again next week.
We're going to fade out to Kelly here. Hey.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Left your house this morning. could have been the one. When I left your house this morning, it was a little loud tonight. It was in Bob Cajun. I saw the constellations reveal themselves. This morning, and as I'm pulling down the blind, yeah, the sky was dull and hypothetical and falling one cloud at a time. That night in Toronto, where the checkerboard floors, riding on horseback and keeping
Velvet Dinosaurs and their latest hit, Eating the Plate. Now let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line.
Master Dirty Red Scum!
Really?
Kill!
That's really
kill! Bad. Kill! Filthy bastard Tommy! I hate him! I hate
okay,
him!
Well,
Maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Last night I was piloting a plane.